This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump has a morning security briefing before leaving for his golf club in New Jersey to weigh next moves in the Iran-Israel war. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
The civilian death toll rising on both sides, though most deaths reported in Iran. Israel and Iran both issuing evacuation orders to residents in each other's country, warning that operations may be taking place.
And they are. Israeli missiles hit a third Iranian hospital, even as Israeli Ambassador Daniel Maron rails about Iran's attack yesterday on one of its hospitals.
Soroka is a civilian target. It is a civilian hospital that has been targeted by the Iranians.
Israel reporting Iran fired a barrage of about 20 more missiles into Israel a short time ago. Iran is meeting now with European diplomats in Geneva. Summer arrives tonight with dangerous heat affecting 100 million Americans this weekend. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Wisconsin DPI is making sure children are fed even while school is out for the summer. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
Amanda Cullen with DPI says the agency has an online service to locate those free meals near you.
There's a summer meals finder that if they put their address in, it will show the sites that are near them. And then they can contact the sponsors to find out, you know, the dates and times that they're offering meals.
You can find out more and find that program online at dpi.wi.gov.
Funding for the free lunches comes from the USDA. A full list of summer meal programs for kids in Wisconsin can be found on the DPI website or by calling 211. One of the legislative proposals seeking to limit school referendums is through the committee stage. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
A bill to restrict how school districts could request tax increases through referendums had a public hearing in the Assembly Education Committee on Thursday. Delafield Republican Representative Cindy Duchow says too many districts are asking for more money. She wonders how much money is too much money for school districts. Eau Claire Democrat Christian Phelps says districts are already practicing fiscal responsibility by asking their voters for a tax increase and wondered why Republicans would want to strip local control from schools.
If the bill passes the legislature, it's unlikely to have support from Governor Tony Evers. Hot weather is on tap for this weekend in western Wisconsin. After early rain showers and thunderstorms today, highs will climb close to 90 degrees across western Wisconsin. Over the weekend, the area is under an extreme heat watch as temperatures will be in the mid to upper 90s with heat indices in the 105 to 110 range. On Monday, highs will stay close to 90 degrees with our next best chance of precipitation coming Monday night. By the middle of next week, temperatures return to their normal range of around 80 degrees. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers face the Twins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and the Twins at Target Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, on the mound for Milwaukee against the Twins' Joe Ryan. The Brewers with a win over the first-place Cubs yesterday, 8-7. The wind blowing out at Wrigley. Home runs by Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, Isaac Collins. Pat Murphy was pleased.
Our guys, you know, they got out to a good lead. Swing the bats great today with authority. A lot of hard contacts and great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team.
Boys high school baseball, Muskegon with a 5-4 victory over Badger to win the Division I title in the WIAA state tournament at Fox City Stadium. New Berlin Eisenhower 5-4 over Seymour in Division II. Kenosha St. Joe's got past Kewaunee 3-2 in Division III. And Division IV won by Johnson Creek with a 5-0 shutout over Pinelli. NBA Finals, Game 7 in Oklahoma City coming up Sunday night. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night 108-91. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then increasing sunshine in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, a low of 74. Hot and humid this weekend with highs in the 90s, heat index values above 100. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, State Representative Francesca Hong on Republicans playing games with the state budget, plus Kristen Lierley, John and Gordy, and much more.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're in the midst of our Free Ticket Fridays. The word until 11 o'clock. You want to text in via the Civic Media app is Brew, B-R-E-W. You can't do that. Brew is the word.
B-R-E-W.
Text in the word Brew until 11 o'clock, and you're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets. You got five chances to win. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, will have a new word. Todd Alba, the same, from 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock is Brew, B-R-E-W. Enter, and good luck, just like Caesar and Madison and John and Oshkosh and Paul and Wisconsin Rapids. I love it.
But not Dan in Milwaukee.
Not Dan in Milwaukee.
He can't text in and win in the contest.
No. Oh.
Correct. And if you do win the tickets and you go, take pictures, text them in. We want to see people having a good time at
absolutely.
These games.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. The word is Brew, B-R-E-W. It's Friday, so the man who cannot enter the contest, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, is here in studio. Lots of things to talk about. We're going to get to your comments on Summerfest. We'll do that in our audio sorbet segment. That's after the 10:30 news, where we try and lighten things up a little bit and take a breath and get away from the news. Sure. And that too.
It's a funny audio sorbet.
I love those hotkeys. Absolutely. So join us for audio sorbet after the 10:30 news. And we're going to wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the I'll be checking out early edition. You want to stick around for this one. Let's start, though, with, the Republicans just walked away. We can't do anything. We can't get everything we want. We don't want to compromise, so we're just going to leave.
Yeah, the state budget, here we are on June 20th. The budget is due June 30th.
Almost there.
We do not have a state budget to be voted on. It's been a little bit of a discombobulating week in Madison as Republicans try to figure out what kind of budget they're going to pass, if they're going to hold sessions to craft the budget. You know, this week, Todd Alba has been all over the news of what's happening at the UW system.
He broke it.
He broke the story on Monday night. Yep. And, you know, Robin Voss confirmed it, I believe, in a press conference Wednesday that the Republicans are proposing an $87 million cut to the UW system. I know it's called the Universities of Wisconsin now. I'm going to keep calling it the UW system.
I'm with you.
I still call it Miller Park. I'm still, you know, I'm stuck in the old ways.
Okay, but Grandpa.
That's besides the point. Yeah, they haven't seemed to figure out how to. They haven't gone through the process of doing this. So, like, after Todd broke the story on Monday, they delayed the vote on the UW system vote that was planned for Tuesday. They delayed that to yesterday, Thursday, and they canceled that session about 15 minutes before it was scheduled
to
start.
Yeah, we were just talking to Corrine Hendrickson about that.
Yeah, she was there, right? She was there.
She shut down her business to be there.
Insane. Yeah. And so, you know, and when these things get scheduled, people come from all over the state to be there to advocate for various positions and whatnot, just like Corrine and the folks who are involved with advocating for childcare. Childcare was on the agenda, as was the UW system, kind of the two of the top items that have been particularly contentious throughout this process. Those are two of the three things that Tony Evers said, you know, he needed from the Republicans in this deal in order to, you know, meet their ask on a tax break of some kind. He outlined three things: K-12 education, UW system, and child care. Two of those were going to be up yesterday. That got canceled at the last minute. So it is it introducing kind of this strange dynamic in Madison that we just don't really have anything there to vote on.
I go back to two out of the three things that were the top things that the Joint Finance Committee heard about when they traveled around the state four times.
Absolutely.
These were the biggest issues to Wisconsinites, and these are the main issues that Republicans continue to ignore and walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
They stick their la. We took comments for 9 hours. I didn't hear anything. I was playing Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, too, is we mentioned earlier before, is the fact that, you know, while it is disappointing and unprofessional and unstatesmanlike to cancel a meeting 15 minutes before it's to go on when you have all these individuals there, we shouldn't be surprised by a group who has the JFC and they go around listening, quote unquote. The air quotes are doing some heavy lifting in that one. And do nothing about it. But also, this also dispels the myth they've been trying to portray of, well, Governor Evers just won't talk to us. That's junk. Mm-hmm. That's junk. He is compromising on things that I wish he wouldn't I don't want a tax break. That's not what we need here. But he's doing what a politician needs to do. And they're like, not good enough. No, we're gonna gut the UW system even more.
Well, and I think that introduces this potential issue for Evers where, you know, so basically what happens if they don't pass a budget by the 30th? Everything goes back to all of the funding levels set by the previous budget. Mm-hmm. So the budget that was passed 2 years ago, it would just continue on in the funding levels that are there. So if Republicans pass a budget that has an $87 million cut, not just a cut to Evers' proposal, which was to add hundreds of millions of dollars to the UW system, but cut to existing levels, I think it would be incumbent on Evers to probably veto the entire budget and do what he has not done this is now his fourth budget cycle in his second term as governor. Each of these cycles, he has eventually signed a Republican budget and then used the veto governor's powerful line item veto powers to make various changes to certain things. I don't know if that's what he should do, because if he can't line item out an $87 million cut. That cut is there if the budget passes.
Right.
So I think he has to actually consider doing what he has not done yet and vetoing the entire budget if it is passed with cuts like this, if it doesn't include any new money for childcare, any like Medicaid expansion, things like that. I think Evers needs to start getting out there in the public saying, these are the priorities that I've advanced. This is what we've talked about. This is the middle ground that we're ready to meet on. I'm going to veto the entire budget if it includes a major cut to the UW system, or if it doesn't include like Medicaid expansion or like certain types of things. I think he has an opportunity to do that right now.
If you're just joining us, we have Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer here. He's also the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationary, and we're talking about the Wisconsin budget being at a standstill right now, frustratingly. And one of the things I want to go back to is what we just spoke with Corrine about, which was that poll they did. And they talked to, I think, 2,600 people, and a vast majority of them do not utilize childcare, but 80% of them said that we need a fix. So to me, what you're saying, Dan, is if he vetoes that budget, and the next thing he needs to do is put out a press conference and say, we agree on this. We've seen the numbers. We agree on a lot of things, actually, but this one we agree with. And I have to take care of Wisconsinites, and I know some of you won't like this, but I need to veto this budget because we need to go back to the beginning and try this again because people are struggling, and I made a commitment to the people as well as children. And I feel like vetoing the budget is a powerful statement, whether it's – honestly, whether it's for reelection or not. Because he doesn't run, it's his, probably one of his last big moves. If he decides to run, he needs to run on this because people aren't going to understand. And he needs to make them understand what an important move this is.
Well, and I was at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention last weekend in Wisconsin Dells. We talked about that on the show earlier this week. But one of the things that was kind of floating around there was that Citizen Action of Wisconsin and a number of groups and kind of a coalition that they have put together had these stickers on that said, veto the budget if it doesn't include K-12 education funding. Veto the budget if it doesn't include, Medicaid expansion. Veto the budget if it doesn't have childcare. So there is this push from a bunch of progressive groups on the left that would be part of the Democratic Party's larger coalition that were at the convention urging Tony Evers to veto this budget, and that was before the news on Monday of the proposed UW cut as well. So I think there is, and I was on the Citizen Action of Wisconsin podcast this week. We were talking about that. I think there are a number of progressive groups across Wisconsin that are going to be vocally urging Evers to veto the budget if depending on what is ultimately passed here. And I think it goes into, what you alluded to with the questions over Evers' reelection and whatever else, like this is a tough spot right now for the governor in a lot of ways.
It is. But we've heard so much that Democrats want to see more Democratic leaders taking a stand. And I think if he would do this, and as you said, Greg, I think it's important to do follow up so people understand why he took this stand. But if he takes a hard stand on this, that might work in his favor.
And I also think that there's a lot of eyes on Wisconsin right now, both from the fact that we are a swing state, the fact that we are purple-ish, and the spring election. If the governor of Wisconsin stands up to the Republican majority and says, no, you're done, we're trying this again, that's a powerful statement that can also reinvigorate some of those Democrats around the country who are like, we're kind of weak right now. We need help. You have a guy like Tony Evers. He's not he doesn't look like J.B. Pritzker. Thank you. He doesn't look like him. He doesn't look like Andrew Cuomo. He doesn't look like one of these big guys. He's a man of his stature, and he's a quiet gentleman. And if he comes up and says no, that sends ripples throughout the country and is a story and could maybe give other governors and other lawmakers some confidence to do the same.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Evers to veto the budget entirely. And then what would that mean? Would Republicans just walk away and just try not to pass a budget and be like, well, we're fine with previous funding levels.
Yep. Why not?
And then we're just not going to pass a budget.
Yeah.
The less work they have to do, in my opinion, and what we're seeing here, the better for them.
They've already worked way past their expiration date. I mean, good heavens, shouldn't they be on vacation by now?
Yeah.
They must be exhausted. It's been four whole, wow.
Yeah.
It's been like four months.
Let me ask you this, though. Greg, you mentioned the study, the childcare study, and like the kind of the survey on that. Well, this has kind of been a tactic that Everson has deployed in various times, calling special sessions, like special session on the gun violence prevention measures, and saying like, hey, Marquette pulled this and it's like 80% support. You know, this has happened in a number of different times. The abortion measures that he brought up as well. Well, it hasn't actually worked, though, in the end of the day. Like, it's been a good rhetorical argument for it, and one I agree with, and saying like, hey, if this is an 80-20 issue in Wisconsin, we should at least have the conversation. We should have a special session. We should talk about these things. That hasn't moved Robin Voss, though.
Well, and I'm not actually even worried about moving Robin Voss. What I'm saying is that if he does this, he's appealing to the voters themselves who are saying these are important issues to us. And then what will happen is the voters might move Robin Voss out because they might get. I don't know. This is all speculation, but I'm speaking less about him talking to the Republicans and more talking to the people who agree on this, as well as many issues that Robin Voss and his cohorts are like, no, we're not doing this.
Right.
So it's about appealing to the people, but in a way that's effective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's appealing to the people is ultimately what matters here. But in order to get something done.
Yeah.
We got to find some sort of compromise. And after the break, I think we should talk a little bit about what's going on, the differences between the Assembly and the Senate.
Absolutely.
In this conversation, too.
Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. You can always join us. And by the way, you can always call your lawmaker if you want to know how to get a hold of a myvote.wi.gov. Ask him why they hate children. I'm just curious. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our Free Ticket Friday. You have until 11 o'clock to text in via the Civic Media app. Only the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, in the running for a four-pack of Brewers tickets, club-level seats, really good seats. Your next word will come up after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show, and then from 2 to 4 with Todd Alba, and a different word with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock to text in is BREW, B-R-E-W. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, talking about the budget. It's kind of in limbo right now.
Budget impasse right now, that's for sure. Yeah. And it's interesting, as I was following the kind of statements that would came out after the Joint Finance Committee session was canceled yesterday. There are different statements coming out from the Assembly and from the Senate Republicans.
Do they not talk to each other at all?
Well, I think this is an interesting piece of this. So I'm going to read a quote from the statement released by Robin Voss and Assembly Finance Co-Chair Mark Bourne. So part of this, if in the statement they talk about the, we negotiated in good faith with Governor Evers. Assembly Republicans will not pass a budget that doesn't have a guarantee from Governor Evers of tax relief in it. But at the end of the statement, it says, quote, "This is the most conservative and most responsible option. This budget is on a trajectory to have more conservative growth rate than the budget that was passed by the Assembly and Senate 2 years ago. We hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting for these reforms and complete the budget on time." Really putting Senate Republicans in the spotlight here as the problem. And I think Governor Evers' spokesperson said something similar. I think Senate Republicans need to figure out how to count to 17 because they need 17 votes. They have 18 Republican state senators. Two of them have said that they don't want to pass this budget. So I'm not great at math, but that does not get them to 17. So I think that is why we are at this moment here where Mark Bourne and Robin Voss are saying, we hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting
get
for these reforms.
Together,
and complete the
kids.
Budget on time. Get it together, Senate
come
Republicans.
Come on, kids.
Devin Lemahieu and and the rest of the crew there.
Do you think that the Senate and the Senate Democrats were like, did they forget to mention us in there? Why are they talking to this seems real catty.
Well, State Senator Chris Kapinga put out a statement earlier this week that he would prefer to not pass a budget and just go back to the previous levels. State Senator Steve Nass, is it Nass or Nass? I'm actually not sure.
I thought it was Kapinga and not.
I said Kapinga.
Yeah.
Kapinga, Kapinga, Nass, Nass.
Chris K, whatever.
All right. Forgive me for my pronunciation here, but all that aside, those are two senators who have said that Republican state senators that said that they are not going to pass vote for the Republican budget that's being crafted right now. So do they need Democratic votes in the state Senate to get it done? Do they need to go back to the drawing board, or are they going to just not get something done?
I think they need to go back to the drawing board, but I think Chris Kapinga's response as far as let's go back to previous levels proves the point that we and Jane and I made to your question, which they'll be happy to do no work. If it's like, oh, we won't be shut down. We'll still have money, blah, 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 all those things. Well, then why don't we just did the last one was good. It's fine. Listen, I got things to do. I have a vacation to be on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that I feel like where Chris Kapinga is going is more going to be the, well, we couldn't get anything done, folks, but this budget 2 years ago was fine.
But then they have to go back to their voters come election time and say, hey, we didn't pass a budget. We didn't pass a tax cut.
But but can't they spin that and say, look at the money we saved you by not voting for a new budget. Mm-hmm. See what we did for you. We protected you.
And to put a little GOP spice on it, they can say we didn't bow to Democrats and their tax and spending. They'll make it like the Republican Assembly is looking at the Republican Senate right now. But at the end of the day, if nothing happens, they are just going to blame Democrats.
Oh, that's a given.
And especially Tony Evers.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much a given.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
But I think a lot of this goes back to they're still really hurt that Scott Walker lost. And they're really, really, this is just my opinion, I think they're really, really irritated that they didn't use the veto pen like Tony Evers did. Mm-hmm. I think they're really jealous about that. Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, they it's been 6.5 years. They're
time to get over
maybe
it.
Maybe it's time to get over it already and accept the realities of divided government. Maybe
she broke up with you. Sorry.
they're just not that into you anymore.
Yeah, I think, Senate Democrats have an interesting role to play here, too, because I think, some of the folks in the budget writing committee, like Kel DeRoy's or some of the other folks in the caucus, LaTanya Johnson has mentioned that they might need Democratic votes to pass a budget in the Senate. I think there are a number of people that we should also keep an eye on in this process and say if there are a couple Democrats say, hey, I would vote for your tax cut if you expand Medicaid, mm-hmm. if you fund UW.
It's called compromise.
Yes, exactly. So I think there is a role to be played by some of those folks in this process as well.
And it says a lot. It says a lot that they're immediately pointing the finger at Senate Republicans instead of saying we're going to try to work with everybody. I know they would never do that or say that on paper, but it says a lot that they're just keep on looking at the Republicans saying, dudes, do something, instead of looking at those Senate Democrats saying, all right, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
Let's get into a room, nobody around for now, and we'll talk. And then we'll go on a stage, we'll hold hands, and you can campaign on that. Mm-hmm. You got something done.
Mm-hmm. Then the tax cut. They can do the one thing that they all, the only thing that they ever want to do is give a tax cut to the top tax bracket.
The answer to everything.
Right.
Rich people need more money. Mm. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the tube tank, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Republicans in the state legislature are considering a big cut to the state budget for the UW system. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
They're reportedly considering an $87 million cut to the system's budget when the Trump administration is also threatening UW's federal funding. Democratic Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire.
They are doing research into Lake Altoona in my district as to why there's so much sediment coming through and why there's so much runoff. There's not a university in Altoona, but Altoona gets the benefits of that because it is the Wisconsin idea. Our universities, our higher ed goes everywhere and impacts everybody in the state.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
UW system leaders had asked for over $850 million in additional funding in this budget. It's the start of a new season. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's officially the first day of summer and the longest day of the entire year. The solstice means that the Earth's tilt is closest to the sun, so we get to enjoy 15 hours and 22 minutes of sunlight. Sunset won't happen tonight until around 8:40. And of course, the day summer starts varies from year to year because it's based on an astronomical event and how long it takes the Earth to orbit the sun. Speaking of the sun, did you know that the core, scientists say, is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit? Just trying to make you feel a little bit better about the 100 degree heat index headed our way this weekend. It's going to be steamy with scorching sun. Don't forget to hydrate and wear sun protection.
Heat watches, advisories, and warnings are in place throughout the weekend. High temperatures this weekend will be in the mid to upper 90s with heat indices around 105 to 110 degrees in some places. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. More big returns are expected at the box office this weekend, and there's a little something for everyone. If you're looking for something in a nice post-apocalyptic shade, check out the latest from the 28 Days franchise called 28 Years Later. The film is highly anticipated as original director Danny Boyle is back at the helm. Pixar's new film Elio also opens this weekend. It's the story about a space fanatic who tries to make connections with alien life forms to overcome an intergalactic crisis. That sounds even ambitious for a movie character. Elio is a nice family film rated PG, and for what it's worth, PG movies are crushing this summer. Elio is pulling in a very respectable 86% on the tomato meter. And finally, if you're in the mood for what appears to be a terrible movie, check out Bride Hard, starring Rebel Wilson and Anna Camp. Just about 10 reviews in, and Bride Hard is pulling low 20 percentile. Mercenaries take a wedding party hostage, not knowing the maid of honor is a secret agent. I see where this is headed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Happy first day of summer. Under mixed skies today, highs will reach the mid-80s. And with winds becoming feisty, cranking the heat and humidity up, a heat advisory goes into effect tomorrow and through the weekend. Highs spike to the mid-90s, and it'll really feel more like 105. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. I'm having little brain lapses already.
You're discombobulated. That's why I'm here, Jane.
Recombobulated. Exactly. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. And it is time for a little audio sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, lighten things up just a little bit. We've taken some criticism for this, but I think it's important that we all, in the midst of everything...
Those critics are wrong. Still, I love audio sorbet. I love
you.
The name. I love the vibe of it. Everything's
just
great.
Just for it to have a couple laughs, I think it's important.
Absolutely.
I spoke to one of our colleagues. I'll make him nameless just because he told me that this is one of his favorite parts of the show because we're talking about news. We're talking about heavy stuff. But then we're taking a moment and we're also entertaining. It's not just like today in Mongolia.
We're all going to die.
We're providing fun. But then this portion of the show takes a breath. Because as you put it, Jane, if we had to talk about this 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, nothing but like world-breaking news, it would be just miserable.
I'll have to throw myself off the tower in the back of the building, and I don't want to do that.
I would rather you not as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yes, audio sorbet, where we take a little breath. You wrote a column about Summerfest. You're just getting in trouble all over the place lately, Dan Schaefer.
I had a couple spicy takes lately.
Rabble rousing.
That's right. Got to stir the pot every once in a while. I had a take about the Summerfest, which kicked off last night in Milwaukee. I love Summerfest. Absolutely love Summerfest. I will be going multiple days. I will be having a good time. I think it is still somehow underrated. As an event and festival, I wrote a column at Milwaukee Magazine about a decade ago called In Defense of Summerfest, when people were being especially critical of it for random reasons.
Right.
Having said all of that, the 3-day weekend format is a crime against Milwaukee, and I hate it.
You know what? As someone who doesn't go to Summerfest really at all anymore, I appreciate what it is, and I appreciate what I like about it is what you love about it.
Yeah.
And I think the criticisms from maybe 10 years ago was maybe the bands weren't as topical as they used to. It used to be a lot of cover bands, a lot of bands that appealed to people like
an
40
older and older.
Yeah.
Right.
But they have really done a great job of getting fresh new bands in there, especially on the free stage, the free quote unquote you pay to get in. But those stages have, I mean, Lizzo played there 1 year. That's a big get.
That's huge.
But yeah, I agree. Because I would go to Summerfest if it was
still during
11
the week.
Days.
Right.
And still during the week.
Yeah. The 3-day thing is just, I'm getting like nervous thinking about walking into Summerfest on a Saturday when there are hundreds of thousands of people there. It's just too much happening. Whereas a Sunday morning when they first open, or on a Thursday or a Wednesday, it's calm, it's fun. And you don't have to stay all day either. It's
go
just
for lunch.
Yes, exactly. Right.
855-752-4842. The new Summerfest, now the way that we do it is three weekends in a row. The old Summerfest was 11 days in a row.
Right.
Should we go back to the old way?
We got to go back to the old way.
855-752-4842. Weigh in on this audio sorbet.
Okay, so one of the reasons I think is because I think this is bad for Milwaukee. Because I think if you have Summerfest taking up three of your summer weekends,
bad for other businesses, that's for sure.
It creates all of it, means that all of the other street festivals, ethnic festivals, other stuff that's happening throughout the city has to avoid Summerfest. Yep. So you have to, like, last weekend was an especially busy one in the city of Milwaukee. There was Polish Fest at the Summerfest grounds. There was Lakefront Festival of the Art at the Art Museum. There was Summer Solstice on the east side. And all of those events had to pack into one day because they didn't want to go up against Summerfest. And Summerfest takes up three weekends. Like, we only have so many summer weekends in Milwaukee. We always go all out. We love our summers in Milwaukee. But to have three consecutive weekends taken up by Summerfest is a lot to contend with for some of these, you know, non-Summerfest festivals.
The tap would close for two weekends during that time because we can't compete.
Well, you can't compete.
No one would come out. And we didn't honestly want to run a place that was four people. It just didn't make sense.
Well, it's not worth it. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer causing problems again. Should Summerfest go back to its original format of 11 days in a row as opposed to the new lineup, which is three weekends in a row? 855-752-4842. Couple things. I understand what you're saying about Summerfest still not being given enough credit, I guess, for the what a massive music festival it is.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't want more people coming.
You want fewer.
We don't need more people.
See, I don't think you and the Summerfest CEO are going to agree on that.
Probably not. But I remember back in the day when I was working Summerfest every day after doing a show, and the whole goal was we need a million people. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. Then it takes you an hour to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you could tell on those nights, those big attendance evenings, it was uncomfortable and it wasn't fun.
And if it's really hot,
it's even worse.
Or if it rains, like, there's always these elements. Scott in Shorewood listening, who actually provided to us our Jabba the Musk. He's the one who made it.
Yeah, Scott did. Yeah.
He said to you, Dan, stop it. It's one weekend extra.
But then Penny says, go back to 10 days in a row. I stopped going because I don't want to deal with big crowds.
That's how I kind of feel as well.
I think you also have, you know, it ignores certain, it makes it harder for certain people to go. Like, if you work in the service industry, if you're waiting tables, you're working the bar or something like that, you're working every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then you can't really go to Summerfest. I think that makes it really hard too for, like, you know, if people are just like, you know, you take off of school, you take off for the 4th of July, you take a long weekend, you spend a couple extra days at Summerfest because you know you can, hey, I'm going to go there on Wednesday or whatever it might be.
Right.
I think that's another problem with it. I think one of the things that they have done really well, though, is start scheduling different acts earlier in the day.
And
like last year, me, aging dad, I went to see like one of my favorite indie rock bands, The Hold Steady, and they were playing at 5. They were playing at 5, which is perfect. I'm going to go at 5. I'm going to have a couple drinks. I'm going to be done. I'll be home by 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about the appreciation of your band going on at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You're like, it's amazing. And now I have two questions. One, because I don't know, because I don't go to Summerfest, and I apologize, everybody. But Summerfest now is Thursday through Saturday or through Sunday as well?
It's through Sunday.
No, it's not through Sunday.
Oh, it's only through Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That is insanity to me. That it would be, they would, to me personally, Sunday would be a big day, especially for families. You get in the car, come down to Summerfest.
But do kids really belong at Summerfest?
I think
during the day.
I think during the day, afternoon. Yes. I think
by 5 o'clock they have to leave.
Well, even by five, but honestly, at 5 o'clock,
bar time for 10-year-olds is 5 o'clock.
Scooters out. at 5.
I would actually propose at 5 o'clock they're closed, because you don't, if they're going to be closed on Sundays, period, and lose out on possible revenue and people coming, then why not open Sunday fun day family days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's it. And you still have bands. You can have more kid friendly bands playing. You can have kid friendly bands playing on the big stages too.
Marketing. Great. There you go. Summerfest.
At the very, and that's the other thing too, is when you don't have it on Sunday, some of these service industry people are off on Sundays and Mondays,
mm-hmm.
and they're just completely out of luck here. So it just doesn't seem. And also, the other question I have is, it never was every day in a row, right? Because it was always closed on the 4th of July, or was it open?
So usually they would close on the Monday. There was like a Monday that they would close, and they would clean up the festival and reset and whatever. Yeah. And then you'd still have like Tuesday through the following Sunday.
Right. 855-752-4842. Today's audio survey question. Summerfest, should it go back to the original 11 days in a row, or should we continue with the 3 weekends in a row? 855-752-4842. Kimberly from Wauwatosa says, 11 days, please. Big event that everyone knows from all over the state. Now it's 3 weekends and no longer one big festival. One mm-hmm. fee for all 3 days. Music is free like Gretna Fest. But go back to 11 days from Kimberly. Schools and nonprofits typically took part during the weekend on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Jake on the live stream says, how about 2 long weekends for Summerfest, Thursday through Sunday, both times, and have days on July 3rd and 4th when they fall early in the week? They haven't in recent years. Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. I mean, this all comes from COVID. This all comes from the lockdown. Yeah. And I believe it was canceled in 2020 because of COVID.
Delayed and then canceled, yeah.
Delaying, and then the next year, they did it later in the year.
Yeah.
Yes. In 2021, like September. Why not make Summerfest then a festival that happens at the end of summer after all the other festivals happen? People are still going to come out. Is there a law that says it has to be in June? There's no, it's just been what they've done. And we can see now that Summerfest people can rethink
change is possible
with the Milwaukee Comedy Festival this October. We always had the festival in August. And then because of COVID, we're like, what are we going to do? We can't do a festival in August in 2020. Can we do something smaller? Let's try October. And then we kept it in October. It was perfect because we weren't up against festivals. We weren't up against summer. I just think that there are ways of finding compromise and new ways. But this 3 weekend thing is just so, especially with no Sundays, that just makes no sense.
Too scattered.
Yes.
Too broken up. 855-752-4842. Summerfest, should we go back to its original iteration of 11 days in a row or continue with the new one with 3 weekends in a row? Richard from Waukesha is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Richard.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I think they need to go back to something like 11, but maybe they could have a break, a day or two in the middle to restart, or just some kind of change, but to go back to more days, you know, in a row somehow.
Appreciate it, Richard. So 11 days, and then again, take that Monday.
Yeah, if you do Monday or Tuesday off or something like that,
we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
I would almost go back to the 11 days. I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I've won you over, Jane.
Well, because again, as a person of a different older age, I would go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and meet a friend for lunch and then maybe hang out for a couple of hours and listen to some of the afternoon bands and stuff. That appeals to me. But I'm like a Penny who said, I don't want to go in on a Saturday with 200,000 people there. That just does not sound like fun.
Yeah. Do you go to State Fair?
Yes.
See, State Fair is continuous.
Yeah.
Right. And State Fair keeps getting better. Like, I feel like the State Fair numbers keep going up and up and up. Like, they get more than 1 million people at State Fair every year. And so how are you not seeing that this is an event for people to, like, you know, spend some extra time there, take some time off of work and take your family or whatever it might be. Like, it seems to be working fine for State Fair. I guess it's, I don't know. I think Summerfest is trying a little bit too hard to be like a Lollapalooza or a Coachella like play in that same type of sandbox.
We don't want
to
be Palooza.
And I don't think that's really.
Don't Palooza. Don't Palooza.
Well, that's the name of today's episode. We don't want a Palooza.
Don't Palooza Summerfest. No, that's a bad idea.
Oh my God. That's
listen to Jane. Jane knows what's up.
That's a really good way of looking at it too. And you can push it as like a, hey, you know how you're paying $300 for Lollapalooza? You can come to ours for like $50 total with all the tickets and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Summerfest, Greg Bach's available. If you're looking for a new marketing guy, he might be the one. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, author, and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It is absolutely worth it. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'll be checking out Early Edition. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you still have a couple of minutes to grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, select your station and text in the word BREW, B-R-E-W, text in the word BREW. It is our Free Ticket Friday's contest going on all day today. Your chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are good seats.
Yes.
So text in the word BREW until 11 o'clock, B-R-E-W, via the Civic Media app. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you after 11 o'clock. Todd all by then from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Friday's. Today, the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, until 11 o'clock. Spelling counts.
Spelling does count, so B-R-E-W.
Keep that in mind.
Love seeing those misspellings come through.
Absolutely. So much fun. Coming up on Monday, really looking forward to this. Charlie Pittman is our new news director here at Civic Media. She's been with us not quite a month.
Yep.
And so we're going to have Charlie in for a regular segment now on Mondays, where she is going to give us a little heads up about what our great news department here at Civic Media is working on.
And things we may have missed over the weekend, because, you know, no news happens on Friday to Sunday.
Nothing ever happens over the weekend.
Oh.
So Charlie will be here on Monday at 9:35, right after the 9:30 news. And then a long time friend of the show, and it's been a while since we've had the bug guy on.
Yeah.
PJ Leash from UW-Madison, entomologist, is going to join us on Monday after the 10 o'clock news to talk about ticks.
Yeah.
They're worse than ever, apparently. Oh, joy.
Great.
I know. But PJ's always great, and we'll find out what other creepy crawlies we have to be concerned about with going on over the summer.
Yeah.
So I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. If you ever miss anything, you can always go to our website at civicmedia.us. Go to the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt and Air on Air, and we have about 100 past episodes on the website.
You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, find our show, subscribe, and it'll be automatically downloaded into your device every day. 2 episodes a day. 3 if you subscribe to This Shouldn't Be a Thing as a podcast as well, which you should. And then if you feel like it and we've deserved it, give us a 5-star review, because that helps with visibility, it helps with ratings, and it just helps get the word out to who we are and what we do on the show.
Absolutely. Speaking of Tisbet 1055, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Mirror, that bastion of journalistic excellence from across the pond.
So many Pulitzers.
So many Pulitzers. The headline reads, British Airways crew mistakenly booked into sex dungeon as they spot grim detail in room. Members of a British Airways cabin crew found themselves in a mortifying situation after being accidentally checked into a sex hotel.
That sounds like a sex hotel.
Complete with an anatomically detailed bathtub.
What is that? Wait a minute.
We'll get there. While in the Italian city of Milan, it had decided that this British Airways crew would spend the night at Motel Mo.om. This is a modern hotel with good transportation links. Unfortunately, whoever booked it, the team found themselves bedding down for the night at a similarly named Mo.om hotel. The names are so close, but there's a big difference. It soon became clear to the crew this was no ordinary hotel, as they took in the bondage-themed beds and anatomically shaped spa tub. And if those features didn't make the point.
Oh, gotcha.
The incessant moaning and groaning from their fellow patrons must have cut through the walls. A source.
Jane's so uncomfortable reading this.
A source told the Mirror, crews were booked into a pay-by-the-hour sex hotel, confronted with bondage sets, mirrored ceilings, dog cages, and leather harnesses. It was obvious this was not the intended hotel. Although there were some humorous elements to the mishap, the sleeping situation less than ideal for the staff. As the source explained, this was a comical mistake by the hotel booking team, but had serious implications. Some of the team members who slept in the sex dungeon didn't get any sleep, so they couldn't actually fly the next day.
Sex Dungeon. You know there was one person in that group who was like, oh, we're checking out?
Oh,
I don't know. This looks, I'm looks cool to me.
I'm just getting wrong. They were kept awake by thrill seekers moaning and groaning all day and all night. A British Airways spokesperson says a small number of crew were moved to unapproved hotel rooms after availability issues with our usual accommodations. This happened without our knowledge. We're investigating to make sure this never happens again.
And then they put us in a comfort suite. Ugh, so gross. So
what a letdown.
Two-star.
What a letdown after the Mo Hotel.
Sex Hotel!
That's a song waiting to be written.
Oh, I'm writing that this weekend.
That wraps up today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, and Pete Schwabe. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you on Monday.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Summer arrives today with instant swelter. More than 100 million Americans, about a third of the population, will be suffering under extreme heat today in the central U.S., Sunday into Monday in the east, like New York.
The feel-like temperatures could hit 105 degrees in many parts of our state.
Governor Kathy Hochul reminding us that heat is the number one cause of weather deaths. The summer will bring much traffic, especially on the 4th.
AAA predicting an all-time record number of people, over 72 million venturing at least 50 miles from home, with a record 5.84 million flying to their destination. That's up almost 1.5% from the same period last year.
ABC's Will Reeve. President Trump is heading to his Bedminster golf course today after a security briefing on Israel's war against Iran. Iran is in Geneva right now meeting with European leaders as both sides maintain their missile attacks on each other. This is ABC News.